I just want to turn again to the book of Judges, chapter 6. And some of you were at Grove City last year, and I apologize if I'm blinding you with the light shining on you. I would expect by now you'll bring your shades with you, but none of you did. But I was impressed very much with the book of Gideon, and my intention is not really to repeat what was given and what was said, and it was very good. But my intention is to challenge our hearts for 5-10 minutes and give room for another word from the Lord. And it says in Judges chapter 6, I want to read selective verses in verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of Midian, and the children of Israel cried to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried to Jehovah because of Midian, that Jehovah sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus said Jehovah, the God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am Jehovah your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not hearkened to my voice." And then the angel of Jehovah came and sat under the terebinth that was in Ophrah, that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress to secure it from the Midianites. Verse 13, and Gideon said to him, "Ah, my Lord, if Jehovah be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles that our fathers told us about?" First of all, I always like to bring a word of the glad tidings. Because believe it or not, none of us know your heart. You don't know my heart. Thank God for that. I don't know your heart. So I truly don't know if you are a genuinely saved individual or not. But if you are not, God brought you to this youth conference. He brought you to listen to His word. And He brought you to this location so that once more you can hear the glad tidings of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the deliverer, who is the savior of the world. That's what John 4 declares unto us, that Christ Jesus is the savior of the world. And I want you to understand that everything that was said throughout the whole day today, it means nothing to you. It means zero to you if you are without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Everything you have heard, and some of these thoughts were very sweet, and they were very good. But if you are without the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as I'm concerned from the Word of God, it meant nothing to you. Because the starting point of man is to have this personal knowledge of Christ Jesus, that He is the Lord and Savior of your life. So God loved you. God loved you tremendously, that He is willing and was willing to send His only begotten Son to die for you on Calvary's cross. And you cannot take this thing very lightly. You know, it was said in the book of Matthew when a king made a great wedding and he invited people to come. And the Bible says, and they made light of it. And my dear friend, if you are without the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you not to make light of it. The invitation that the scripture tells us of the words of the Savior, "Come unto me, all ye are that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Don't make light of it. Humble yourself this evening. Accept the word of God that without the Son, ye will not see life. Not only have it, but you will never see it. You will never dream about it, that you will have eternal life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the first 3 minutes. I want to invite you to come to the saving knowledge of this wonderful person that we are talking about. You know what? We're talking about Gideon. But our main theme is not Gideon. Our main theme is the person and the Savior that we're telling you about, and His great name is none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to challenge you if you know Christ as Savior. Because in the book of Gideon, and as we have heard, I was very impressed this morning when I heard that the Midianites talk about something that is very earthly, very legitimate. There's nothing wrong with these things. But I want to highlight a few things that if you will not put these legitimate things in the rightful place, they will turn to be Egyptians. I'm going to explain what do I mean by that. They will turn to be, let me bring the application right away. They will turn to be worldly. They will turn to be bondage. And they will turn to be idols. And that's what I want you to be careful of. Right now, the first thing I want you to know that when we talk about, legitimate things, the greatest test of a disciple, as far as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, is one is tested after the legitimate things. You know, when the Lord Jesus spoke about discipleship, He didn't say, well, if you will stand strong against sin, or if you will do this or you will do that. He says, if you want to be my disciple, first of all, you deny yourself. Well, you know what? What's wrong with life? The scripture encourages us to take care of ourselves. It's a legitimate thing. But also the Lord Jesus said, when it comes to discipleship, that unless a person hates, what, who? His mother, his father, his brother, his sister, he cannot be my disciple. Brethren, if we want to talk about discipleship, because it's a common word that we're all familiar with, that a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is a person who knows the priority of legitimate things and have Christ before anything that is legitimate. You know, when the Lord Jesus said to the disciples that you cannot be my disciple unless you hate, the word hate is not something to despise. The word in the Greek when it comes to discipleship, I'm talking, it's a preference. And this is what we need to understand. You and I, as young and old alike, we have to have the preference that the Lord Jesus comes before anything that is legitimate. Legitimate things are good in themselves. Earthly things are given from God to us, and they are good in themselves. But if they will be more important in my life than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is a big, huge problem. Discipleship is a test, and that test comes on the legitimate things offline. It doesn't come on any other base or any other thing. The first thing, that if you will not really have Christ the preeminent in all things, these legitimate things, they will become worldly. Not earthly anymore, they will become worldly. What do I mean by that? We said the prophetic word. Here comes the prophet. Why do you think the prophetic word will tell him only these few words? Egypt, bondage, the gods. Because he's responding to the condition they were in. That if you are seeking only after legitimate things and you set Christ aside, these legitimate things are going to become, first of all, worldly. How do things turn from legitimate to worldly? Well, it's very, very easy. I need to work. I need to make a living. And the scripture tells us to be what? Content. To be content. But here, you know what? The believer doesn't want to be content. I want this better house. I want this better car. And I want this. And I want the other thing. And our list of desires and wants is so huge. It's not even funny. We challenge our kids, don't ask for anything anymore. We are living in the land of the plenty where the kids and the old and the young, they have so much to ask for, and they want this and they want that game and they want the other thing. But dear brethren, when we will set Christ aside with the legitimate things, this job of mine, that I'm willing to take any job just to make a living. You know what I heard? I heard not long time ago, which is sad to me, that somebody will take a job that is ungodly and they would say, well, this is legitimate, I need to work. Listen. You can take or discuss anything that is legitimate, but any job or anything you do that opposes the word of God is not earthly, it is not legitimate, it is worldly. That's what the scripture tells me. Nothing wrong with work. Nothing wrong with sports. I'm going to challenge the young people. Listen, you want to stone me later, you can stone me later, but don't stone me right now. Let me breathe a little bit for now. You like sport. I like sport. But I'm going to challenge you. If the sport is going to keep you away from the remembering of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is worldly, it is not legitimate. Let me repeat that. I like sports, you like sports. But if playing the sports is going to keep me away from remembering my precious Savior, it is not legitimate anymore, it became worldly. And you have to be very careful with these little foxes, you know. They are little foxes. Little foxes is something that is sneaky, that you don't feel it right away, but you start compromising this and compromising that. And what's wrong with that? Only one game, only this, only that. You lost it. You lost it. Legitimate things could become worldly. The second thing, you will become in bondage. You know what's sad? It's not that you start missing one Sunday. You become so much in bondage with these legitimate things that it's not like anymore you missed one Sunday. It's not anymore you missed one prayer meeting. It is not anymore that you missed a conference. You know what happens when you become in bondage? There's no more meetings. There's no more fellowship. There's no more young people. Why? Because that legitimate thing that God has given to us, where we have to receive it with thanksgiving. But in all things, Christ have to have the preeminence. When you lose the place of Christ in your life, things will become worldly and things will take hold of you, trust me. You'll become under the bondage of it. And don't think that you will not become under the bondage of it. There are certain things in this world, if we don't test them and if we don't put Christ first, they are very addictive to take us and bring us under bondage. And dear young brethren, young brothers and young sisters and older ones, we have to give Christ His rightful place. And if Christ in His rightful place, you know what Paul told Timothy when he was talking, well, speak to the rich. You know, he says, God has given us all things to enjoy. God gave us a lot of things in this world to enjoy. But don't let these things take the place of the giver Himself. Enjoy them in the light that Christ is still the preeminent one in my life. And when they become worldly, you will become under the bondage of it. You know what they turn? He says, don't be afraid from the gods of the Amorites. You know what happens in the book of Judges chapter 3? Well, I want to dwell someplace. I want to live. So what's wrong with living with unbelievers? What's wrong? That's what happened in chapter 3. They start dwelling amongst the Amorites and the Canaanites. They start dwelling. Well, what's wrong with dwelling? What's wrong with having fellowship with unbelievers? What's wrong? Just, we're having a meal. We're having, what's wrong? Well, you know, the people of God in Judges chapter 3, they start, the little foxes, they start dwelling with them. They start fellowshipping with them. Well, you know, it's legitimate. I need to live, you know. I need to have a piece of land. And then they start marrying their daughters and giving sons to be married to them. You know what was the end result? And they start worshiping their Baal. They start worshiping their gods. And dear brethren, the legitimate things that God has given us, if we don't put them in the rightful place, and if we don't cause Christ to be the preeminent in my life, these legitimate things, they will become worldly. They will bring me under bondage. And at the end of the journey, they will be my idols. And the Bible tells me, flee from idolatry. So what is the solution? The Lord Himself. That's the only solution. There's no equations in the scripture. You know what? If you do this and if you do that, you have a choice. I will write it down with the marker. There's nothing like that. There's only one remedy for everything. And that remedy is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. He comes to Gideon. And I want to close with this. You know, Gideon was a young man, like many other young men. And I want to tell the young brothers and the young sisters this evening, I don't buy it for a moment that I am too young. I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. You know what, when the Lord came to Jeremiah, He told him, you know what? He told him almost the same words. He spoke about His might. He spoke that He is a capable one that the Lord has prepared to serve Him. But you know what Jeremiah said? He said, but I am a child. I am a child. You know what the Lord responded to him? Say no more that you are a child. Look, I am not one who goes along with this line. Well, the reason I don't take part, or the reason I don't participate, or the reason I don't give a word of thanks, or a word of praise, or the reason I don't take my place in the midst of the local testimony, well, I am too young, I'm a child. Well, listen, the mighty men of David were not children, although they were very young, you know. The mighty men of David were very, very young. But in the scripture, they were called the mighty men of David. And young brother and young sister, God is not looking for children. He loves the children. I don't mean it in this negative way. But God is looking for those where He had put them in a position. If God sees Gideon as a mighty, then He's going to equip him to act like a mighty person. And David said, thy gentleness had made me what? Had made me great. Brethren, we are in a position to serve the Lord, not because we are so wonderful, we're not. But it is the gentleness and the grace of God that caused you and caused me to know Christ. But God is looking for the Gideons. God is looking for the brothers and sisters who will stand strong for Christ in these last and closing days. Don't go to your local testimony and point fingers at an individual. You know, it was so easy that Gideon said, well, what happened? Our fathers told us about the miracles. Well, listen, God will not act the same in every dispensation. God has made you to be in the 21st century. He made you to be, or He created you, or He brought you into this world in this time. You know why? Because He wants to use you in this time. He wants you to take your part in this century. He wants you to be a great asset to your local testimony. And you know how wonderful it is that the fathers told him about the miracles. I would personally would have preferred that the fathers would have told him about Jehovah Himself. It's nice to tell about the wondrous and what God has done. But what a greater thing to tell the young people about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for you and for me on Calvary's cross. So I'm going to challenge you, when you go to your local testimony, act. Act in the way that God has in mind for you to act. Behave like a man, like a woman. And read the words that Jehovah told Jeremiah. Don't say no more, you are a child. If God wants to use you, He will equip you with whatever you need. So when you go to your local testimony, I trust that you'll be a great asset. You'll be a great help. You will not be one who will whine and complain about every single thing. But you, and you, and you, and you, and you will be those that will face the enemy by the gate and will not be ashamed. You know why? Because in the sight of God, you are mighty. Why? It's only His grace. So may the Lord help us to be as Gideon and to know that Christ should always be the preeminent one for His name's sake.
What a wonderful thing to hear of the preeminence of Christ. And I thought, as our brother was speaking and before he got up here this evening, you may be here, and you may say, Brother Tony, Brother Chuck, Emil, you don't know the circumstances that I face in my life. You don't know what is before me. You don't know the difficulties of the area. You don't know the great changes that the Lord is going to have to make that I might be able to serve Him. And I want to tell you tonight, there's a greater thing than the Lord changing the circumstances you're in. Can I say that again? There's a greater thing than the Lord changing the circumstances that you're surrounded with. The Lord wants to change you. That's greater than changing all the circumstances in the world. Do you know what that will do? That will set you free, dear young person, to be what the Lord wants you to be. Paul was a man that was faced with awful things in his lifetime. And he has come and he has given to us a record of how he faced the difficulties of his life. I want you to open your Bible to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians is not a book of deep doctrine. Philippians is not a book that we look to find all of the deep things of Scripture. Philippians is a book of Christian life lived here. Philippians is a book that tells us of a man that said, I want to magnify Christ in my life. Now that's the great question we have for you tonight. Is that your desire? That Christ would be magnified in your life? I'm going to tell you something. If that is the desire of your heart, you're not going to have any problem trying to equate sports and legitimate things and putting this list here and putting this list here and saying, Lord, help me separate these things out. No. If the Lord Jesus is preeminent, He will be the one that will be the enabler for you to be able to set what needs to be set right. And then to look at other things that other Christians are doing, that other brothers and sisters in the meeting that you come from are free to do. And you will be able to say, well, I'm fine that they do that. God has enabled me by His grace, and you wouldn't say it, I know, publicly, to be able to set those things aside in my life. Philippians chapter 1, God is my record. Verse 8, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment or judgment. What is discernment? What is knowledge? I believe knowledge is what we gain as we study the Word of God, as we have this time. But along with knowledge, God says, I want my children to have discernment. I want them to be able to rightly apply the Word that I have given them to the circumstances that they're in their lives today. In knowledge and in all judgment, that you may be able to approve things that are excellent. You say, that's not difficult. Well, if I don't have Christ before me, it will be difficult. I won't be able to do that. I'll be the one that's caught in that struggle trying to decide which way I should go. But when the Lord Jesus is before us, and I love what our brother has said, these things are not for old people. These are for the children of God, and you and I fit into that category. Whether I'm here as 15, 18, 20, or in my case 60, they still apply. That you may approve things that are excellent. What about things that aren't excellent? Am I waiting for the Lord to come in and take those away? Well, dear young person, you'll wait a lifetime. If you're waiting for the Lord to come into your life and take the things out of it that He's waiting for you to take out of it, you'll wait a lifetime. We are to lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us and the weights that are there. The Lord is going to lay a weight aside for you? I don't think so. The Lord is saying to you, my child, I want you to lay aside that weight. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And filled with what? Filled with this world. Young people, it's a world that is going on to judgment. And before you get all wrapped up in its sports and everything else that is here, always keep that in mind. It has only one portion, and that is judgment. That's what awaits this world. And you and I have been left here to be Gideons. We've been left here to carry Christ through this godless world, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. What world am I living for? Which world has preeminence with me? I have to answer that, and you do. And the one sitting beside you can't answer it. But if you are putting the preeminence on the wrong world, my dear young friend, you're on a dead end. The pathway of blessing is when Jesus Christ is the preeminent one with me and with you. It is the way of blessing. It is that that the God of glory can bless. He can't come in and bless what is not of Him. He will not compromise His standards for one of us. Do I realize that? He won't lower the bar a little bit and say, well, I know He's doing the best He can, but He's mixed up with the wrong company. He's been looking at the wrong things. She's been going with the wrong people. No. He will not lower His standard. It remains here. And there will be those who will walk according to it. And the great question at this conference this year is, am I one of them? Is that appeal to me? Paul could say, I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Do we stop and think for a moment of the things that had happened to this man? You read sometime in Corinthians of the nights and the days and the deep and the beatings and the whippings and the scourgings and of all that this man went through. And so often is our prayer, Lord, these circumstances are against me. Change them. And the Lord says, no, my dear child, I want to change you. I want you to be able to prove me. I want you, in those wretched circumstances, in those difficult times, I want you to be able to prove that I am sufficient, that I am the enabler, that I am the one that gave Gideon all that he needed. And as I was yesterday, so I am today. The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ, we know what that means. He was in a dungeon. He was in a prison. My bonds in Christ, dear believer, they're manifest in all the palace. Everybody, from the king all the way to the servants, they know about Christ. I've been able, under these circumstances, to bear testimony for Him. Oh, I say, what a wonderful thing. The Lord, not changing those circumstances, but the Lord changing you and I. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, by the very fact that I'm in prison. Paul says, you know, I can see good coming from that. What would we be saying? Lord, I need you to remove these problems. Many of the brethren waxing confident by my bonds. He says, you know what happens? They're more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and of strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention. Not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set. Am I? I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, he says, and I want to finish with verse 20, but I'll read these verses notwithstanding every way. Whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. For I know. I'll dwell there a little minute. What do you know? Do you know the statistics of all the sports players? Do you know the scores and all of the mighty things that have happened in the world events today? Can you say, I know whom I have believed? And I am persuaded but that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's able to keep that. Is there a measure of commitment in my life as a Christian? Or does commitment with me mean what the Lord is going to do to help me? Am I willing to take the other side? That commitment means that I've given my life to him. That he saved me. And I've said, Lord, now would you use me? Do you have something I can do for you? I'm just a teenager. I'm just 17. I'm just 18. But Lord, here I am. Would you use me? And the Lord comes back and says, you know, I use vessels that are clean. And I use vessels that are meet for the Master's use. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer in the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And now listen to this. According to my earnest expectation. What was it that was before the Apostle Paul? What was his earnest expectation? What was his hope? Because what his expectations were and his hopes were, I believe the Lord wants that would be my expectations and my hopes. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Not only that, but that with all boldness, as always. Boldness in a world that has cast the Savior out. And Paul says, I long for the opportunity to speak a word for him. With all boldness, as always, so now also, and this is the point, so now also, Christ. I might be satisfied to say that Christ would be seen. But Paul is not satisfied that Christ is seen in his life. He's not happy to say that the Lord Jesus is viewed as walking in me. He says, I want him to be magnified. I want him to be larger than life in my life as I walk through this scene. You know, when my desire and your desire is that Christ should be magnified, I'll tell you so many things will become clear. So many things will become crystal clear that many others are struggling with. I'll not have any doubt. I'll not have any question. I'll not have the many things that are hurting and hindering so many others. If my desire is to magnify Christ, where? In my body. That's what his desire was. You say, I don't know how Paul did the things that he did. Well, I can tell you something. This was what his heart beat for. There's a cost attached to this. We'll kid no one. There's a price. It cost him the world. Do we realize that? He had to make a choice. And he said, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. Young people, have you ever heard the phrase win-win? It's used often in the business world. That this is win-win. Well, this is true win-win in these verses. Whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ. But then he says something that would surprise so many. To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's win-win. If I live here, I stay here in service for my Lord. And if I die, immediately I'm ushered into the presence of the one of whom we've sung tonight. Oh, may the Lord help us. that truly the desire of my heart. I'll tell you something. It's not going to put you in a pathway with an awful lot of people. It's not going to. We need to be honest about that. Those who wholeheartedly want to serve the Lord Jesus in this day are few and far between. I'm not saying those that are Christians. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying those that want to say with Paul, I want Jesus to be magnified in my body. But all I tell you, what reward. What a wonderful thing that Emil was speaking last evening when I have said, Lord, I want to be part. I want to be part of that, forget the word was that you used, the militia or whatever it was, but I want to be part of those who were here for you. I trust. And again, I think of what the word that we've said is exercise. It will take us down a path of exercise. It'll take us down a path where we apply His word to my circumstances. Not just that I know it, and I don't take away from knowing it, but I say the wonder of knowing His word is to apply it to help me in those things that look unclear and I don't know what to do. And then I apply this book and I pray for help from the Spirit of God. And the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. May the Lord help us.